Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson.
Good morning, Mr. Mathewson.
Yes, Chairperson, it's 9 o'clock now. And then from my side, I do have 7 members. Maybe we should ask the secretary from the SOP how many members are in the meeting in the meantime, Chair, so that we can start with the meeting.
Okay, thanks very much. You can request that, Mr. Mathewson. I also request to grant my video because of the network challenges. Thank you. You can proceed, Mr. Mathewson.
Yes, Gershwin, if you can confirm how many members from the SOP.
Morning, Chairperson and members. Currently, we have 3 members online. We do have a few apologies. There's a WIPRI meeting at the moment, but some of them will join us later.
Okay, that's all, Chair. I think we can start with the meeting. I do have about 7 members at the same time. Thanks, Chair. Over to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Morning, honorable members. Morning, our staff. Morning, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Security and Justice, Honorable Shahida Sheikh. Morning, the Deputy Minister. Morning, the commissioners of the IEC and the executive in attendance. Today's joint meeting, Home Affairs and Select Committee on Security and Justice, will receive a brief from Home Affairs on the items which are indicated on the agenda. And after that, members will comment on the issues raised. We are doing this because we also wanted to, we're going to invite the IEC early in the year to give us a response, in particular on the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill and the Parliamentary Legal Services. This process will assist us to begin the process of advertising the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill for public comments so that we're able to deliberate in details on the issues that we could have received from members of the public. So it has not been introduced in the House, in Parliament, or tabled by the Minister, and referred to the Portfolio Committee for processing. So we've then interacted with the Select Committee Chairperson and members and resolved that in Parliamentary Legal Services and resolved that we must have interface on this process jointly, so that they were able to meet the deadline and allow the IEC to deal with processes that they had to undertake. I will invite Mr. Mathewson to indicate any apologies from members. Then I will invite Deputy Minister, and also Mr. Mathewson will introduce members in attendance and also the IEC. Therefore, we'll invite the Deputy Minister on item number 3 to introduce the presentation. Mr. Mathewson?
Yes, Chairperson. From me, I've got an apology from Ms. van der Merwe and also Ms. Mlekwa. And then also I received an apology from the Minister. And as well as it was indicated to me this morning that the DM will leave after an hour for some urgent stuff that he has to do. And then the new people that are in the meeting today, Chairperson, is from the State Law Advisors. That is Sarah Govenda. I think members are familiar with her. And Mr. CEO Hercules, they will be assisting us on this bill. And then also we've got our parliamentary legal advisors, Ms. Telane, and then also Ms. Charmaine van der Merwe. That is from the legal service. Then the rest are just staff members from the committee. Thanks, Chair. If maybe we can give an opportunity to the committee secretary as well to do the same.
Thank you. That order.
Good morning, members. And
Mr. Mathewson,
Chairperson, go ahead.
Yeah, proceed. You're audible now.
Yeah.
can hear you.
Thank you.
No. Mr. Matron?
Yeah, no, I can't hear him as well.
Chair, I might have network issues.
Right, you're audible now. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of apologies, we have Honorable Dango, Bartlett, and Honorable Gainey, who's at the WIPRI meeting, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. The chairperson of the IEC.
Morning, chairperson, honorable members, deputy minister, and colleagues. We are grateful to be here, Chair, and the only person that we do not have today is Commissioner Masuku, who's on assignment to the elections in the DRC. But we are here, the CEO and his team. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. All apologies are noted. I'll invite the Deputy Minister also to if the apologies and immediately introduce the presentation. Deputy Minister?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee and all the colleagues that are present in this meeting. Chair, allow me to firstly introduce the team that we have came with here today. I've got Advocate Phelelani Khumalo, who is the Chief Director for Legal at Department of Home Affairs. I also, with myself, have the DG, Mr. Makode, who's also joined us in this meeting. I think the other member is Mr. Siya Goza, who's also the Chief Director for Comms, is also with us here in this meeting. Chair, I think those are the two, as well as the DG for Counter Corruption and Security Services, DG Moite. Through you, Chair, as you have indicated that I must introduce this item, I think we should be able to say throughout the meeting. We are here basically, Chair, to report on the progress that we have made in the introduction of the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill, as well as on the question that was asked in the previous Portfolio Committee around the implications of the Concord judgment. Basically, in terms of the introduction of the bill in Parliament, we are making consequential amendments as they refer to the Political Party Funding Act, the Electoral Act, the Electoral Commission Act, as well as the Electronic Communications Act. As a result of the amendments that we made in the Electoral Matters. So I will then request that Advocate will take us through item by item in terms of the amendments that will be made in the bill that we have introduced to Parliament. It will take us through clause by clause. But just as a matter of highlight, Chair, I think there was a question that was asked to Home Affairs as to whether the department feels it is necessary for the amendment as it pertains to the 1,000 signatures to be included in the Electoral Matters Bill. And our view is that we don't think that is necessary or we should be doing that, but the advocate will then take us through section by section in terms of all the amendments and also brief us through. We'll then respond to questions where necessary and fill in the gaps where necessary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Advocate Khumalo.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members, and thank you, DM. Chair, I will take you through the presentation quickly, but just to mention that, honorable members, to recall that this came as a result of the Constitutional Court judgment in the New Nation Movement, NPC, based on the President and the others, where the Constitutional Court held that the Electoral Act 1998 was unconstitutional to the extent that it required that adult citizens can only be elected to the National Assembly and Provincial Legislature through only through the membership of political parties. And Parliament acted swiftly in that. It then elected the Electoral Amendment Act 1 of 2023. Then that would then provide that independent candidates can also contest for elections. Now, as a result of that, then you had to have a consequential amendment to mainly the Political Funding Act. That's just an introduction. Thank you, Chair. So we can move to the next slide. So the layout of the presentation, we go to the purpose, clause by clause, analysis of the bill, and we'll touch briefly on the Constitutional Court judgments, the two that recently took place, and then the recommendations. Thank you. Next slide, please. So the purpose of this presentation is to provide the joint sitting of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs and the Select Committee on Justice of the progress made in the introduction of the Electoral Amendment, Matters Amendment Bill, and the DM has actually covered this part. Next slide, please. In terms of the long title, so this bill has got, I think, the longest title that I've seen, but it seeks to amend the Political Party Funding Act 2018 so as to provide for the regulation of private and public funding of independent candidates and independent representatives and matters incidental thereto. It also seeks to amend the title, the long title, and the preamble to insert and substitute certain definitions, to amend the names of the funds, to preclude electoral commission from accepting donations to the multi-party and independent democracy fund, which it has reason to believe is the proceeds of crime. I think this has been a matter that has been a public debate for a long time, honorable members, that we need to ensure that political parties and independent candidates are not being funded through proceeds of crime. To empower the commission to invest money in the funds in any bank registered in terms of the Banks Act 1990, to proscribe the attachment of money in the funds by certain persons, to provide for the rights of political parties, independent candidates, and independent representatives to refuse donations, and to repeal Section 10. Recall that Section 10 was that section that had a complete prohibition to donations, but there was no rationale for that, and that's why it's being repealed. To amend the provisions relating to the accounting obligations of represented and unrepresented political parties, to provide for the offense of making a donation to a political party, a member of a political party, an independent candidate, or an independent representative. Can move up a bit. Can move up the slide? Yes. So, thank you so much. So, this is going to be prohibited if the donor donates money with an expectation that the person that receives the donation would then provide an advantage or a tender or anything. You'll see this in the provisions. To provide for offenses by a member of political party of accepting a donation to circumvent the provisions of Chapter 3 or appropriating the donation for themselves. To amend the powers of the president to make regulations on certain matters, to amend Schedule 2 in respect of the formula for the allocation of money in the funds on a proportional and equitable basis, in respect of the upper limit donations and the disclosure limit for donations, to amend the Electoral Act 1998, the Electoral Commission Act 1996, the Electronic Communications Act 2005, the Financial Management of Parliament and Provisional Legislature Act 2009, so as to make consequential amendments resulting from the introduction of the independent candidates to contest elections of the National Assembly and provincial legislature. Thank you. Next slide, please. Now we're going to go through clause by clause, honorable members. Clause 1 and 2, they amend the law title and the preamble of the Funding Act to reflect that it regulates the private and public funding of all participants in the political process. That is political parties, independent candidates, and independent representatives. Clause 3, it substitutes and inserts various definitions in Section 1 in order to ensure that the Funding Act applies to political parties, independent candidates, and independent representatives. Clause 4 and 5 substitute the names of the funds in Sections 2 and 3. Clause 6 substitutes Section 4 to empower the Electoral Commission to invest money in the funds not immediately required for making an allocation in any bank registered as a bank in terms of the Banks Act 1990, and substitutes the provision of Section 4 to include independent candidates and independent representatives. Thank you. Next slide, please. Clause 7, honorable members, substitutes the provisions of Section 6 pertaining to the allocation of money in the funds to political parties and independent representatives, including the criteria for the prescribed formula for the allocation in the funds of money in the funds on a proportional and equitable basis. Clause 8 inserts Section 8A to prohibit the attachment of money in the funds by a creditor of any political party or independent representative, and to provide that Section 179 of the Tax Administration Act 2011 does not apply to money in the funds. Clause 9 substitutes the provisions of Section 7 in order to regulate the use of public money allocated to independent representatives. Clause 10 substitutes the heading of Chapter 3. Clause 11 substitutes the provisions of Section 8 in order to prohibit certain direct donations to independent candidates and independent representatives. Thank you. You can move up. Yes, clause 12 inserts Section 8A, which will then be the new section, to provide for a right of a political party, independent candidate, and independent representative to refuse donation. Clause 13 substitutes Section 9 to require independent candidates and independent representatives to disclose certain donations and to require those who make certain donations to independent candidates, independent representatives, to make disclosure thereof. Clause 14 repeals Section 10. This is Section 10 that I spoke about earlier, which absolutely proscribes all donations to members of the political parties and other than for the political parties. So that if I'm a member of a particular party, I may not be able to receive any donation. In other words, Section 10 prohibits a member of a political party from receiving any donation in their private capacity for any reason whatsoever. In place of Section 10, Clause 25 inserts new focused offense in Section 19, and that is the offense of making a donation to a member of a political party to circumvent the provisions of Chapter 3. That is the provisions which regulate the direct or private funding of political parties and of a member of a political party accepting a donation to circumvent the provisions of Chapter 3 or of appropriating donation meant for a political party. So as we repeal Section 10, we put something in its place, but something that makes sense in this regard. Thank you. Next slide, please. Clause 15 substitute the heading of Chapter 4. Clause 16, substitute Section 11 to require independent representatives and independent candidates to furnish information and documentation to the Commission as prescribed or required. Clause 17, substitute Section 12 to clarify circumstances in which political parties must account for income and that only represented political parties must have their financial statement audited by a registered auditor. Clause 18, insert sections 12A, section 12A to regulate the duties of independent candidates and independent representatives to account for income. Clause 19, substitute section 13 to include independent representatives. Thank you. Next slide. Clause 20, substitute section 14 to require the Commission to monitor compliance by independent candidates and independent representatives with the Funding Act. Clause 21, substitute section 15 to empower the Commission to issue directions to independent candidates and independent representatives. Clause 22, substitute section 16 to empower the Commission to suspend the payment of money to independent representatives. Clause 23, substitute section 17 to empower the Commission to recover money from independent candidates and independent representatives. Clause 24, substitute section 19 to introduce offenses in respect of breaches of consequentially inserted amendment provisions regulating private and public funding of political parties, independent candidates, and independent representatives.
Can you assist us to? Thank you. Sorry, Advocate Kumalo, for that interruption. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we continue on clause 24. Roman figure 2, introduces an offense of making a donation to a political party, a member of a political party, an independent candidate, or independent representative in the expectation that the party member, representative, or candidate concerned will influence the awarding of a tender, a license, approval, consent, or permission, or relaxation of a condition or restriction in relation thereto in the said person's favor in accordance with the recommendations of the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into allegations of the state capture. So, honorable members, these amendments, most of them you then recall that they are coming from the recommendation of the State Capture Commission that we should consider, Parliament should consider criminalizing such a behavior where one donates with an expectation that they will get returns on such donations. Roman figure 3, introduce offenses by a member of a political party of accepting a donation to circumvent the provisions of Chapter 3 or appropriating the donation for themselves so as to replace the absolute prohibition in Section 10. This we have covered in other slides, but now that we are dealing with Clause 24, that's where now the details are, honorable members, so that it doesn't sound as a repetition. Now, Clause 25, substitute Section 22 to require the Commission to include information pertaining to private and public funding by independent representatives and independent candidates. Thank you. Next slide, please. Clause 26, substitute Section 24 to provide that the President may make regulations after consultation with the National Assembly Portfolio Committee for the Minister responsible for the Funding Act to set out the factors that the President must take into account when making regulations for the matters contemplated in Section 8, Subsection 2, 8, Subsection 5, and 8 and 9, Subsection 1A, that is, the limits on what donations may be accepted by a political party, independent candidate, or independent representative, and the threshold above which donations must be disclosed to the Commission, and to make explicit that the regulations contained in Schedule 2 are transitional and each become inoperative when the President makes a regulation replacing them. Clause 27 substitutes Section 25 in relation to the name of the Multi-Party and Independent Democracy Fund. Clause 28 substitutes Section 26 to make consequential amendments. Thank you. Next slide, please. Clause 29 substitutes Schedule 2 to include references to independent representatives where necessary to amend the formula by which money in the fund is allocated to represented political parties and independent representatives on a proportional and equitable basis. The amendment of the upper limit of donations and to amend the disclosure threshold for donations. Clause 30 substitute the definition of the word serve in Section 1 of the Electoral Act to include electronic mail. So this is service. Clause 31 substitute Section 24A of the Electoral Act to provide that a voter who is unable to cast their vote at a voting station in the district they are registered may only vote for the regional seat in the National Assembly if their name appears on the segment of voters' roll for the province in which the voting is situated. Clause 32 substitutes Section 33 of the Electoral Act to provide that persons contemplated by subsections 3, 4, or 4A may only cast a vote for the election of the compensatory seat for the National Assembly in terms of Schedule 1A. Next slide, please. Clause 33 inserts the definitions of independent candidate and independent representative in Section 1 of the Electoral Commission Act. Clause 34 amends Section 5 of the Electoral Commission Act to specify that the Commission's function, including establishing and maintaining liaison and cooperation with parties and independent candidates and independent representatives. Clause 35 inserts definition of independent candidate, independent representative, and substitute other definition in Section 1 of the Electronic Communications Act. Clause 36 to 40. These clauses substitute Section 52, 56, 57, 58, and 59 of the Electronic Communications Act so as to include references to independent candidates and independent representatives. Clause 41 amends the arrangement of Sections 52, 56, and 59 of the Electronic Communications Act. Thank you. Next slide, please. Clause 42 inserts a definition of independent representative in Section 1 of the Financial Management of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act. Clause 43, substitute Section 34 of the Financial Management of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act to include reference to independent representatives. Clause 44 is the short title of the Act and addresses its commencement. Clause 36 to 40, substitute Sections 52, 56, 57, 58, 59 of the Communications Act so as to include reference to independent candidates and representatives. I think these ones are a bit of repetition. I think I've covered these. Next slide, please. So, honorable members, that was the clause by clause explanation. Maybe then briefly to capture the progress after Cabinet approved the bill. As Cabinet approved the bill on the 29th of November for its introduction to Parliament, the Department thereafter submitted the approved bill to the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor for final certification as contemplated in Rule 2792 of the Joint Rules of Parliament. Oxla certified the bill and submitted same to the Bill's Office in Parliament. The Department also proceeded to, under Proclamation 7R702 of the Government Gazette 49836, published the explanatory summary of the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill 2023. The Minister subsequently addressed letters to the Speaker of the National Assembly and to the Chairperson of the NCOP, indicating the Minister's intention to initiate the process of introducing the bill into Parliament. Next slide, please. And now we touch briefly, and I think DM has actually touched briefly on this, the two Constitutional Court judgments that were delivered on the 4th of December. And we also attended the Portfolio Committee where IEC and the Parliamentary Legal Advisors presented these two judgments in much detail. So here is just to mention them. That there was the Independent Candidate Association, South Africa versus the President and others, and there was the One Movement, South Africa versus the President and others. Now, for the Department, after this, the Minister issued a statement wherein he welcomed the unanimous judgment of the Constitutional Court in the Independent Candidate judgment. The Minister equally accepted the One Movement judgment and noted that Parliament has been given 24 months in which to cure the defect. Now, next slide, please. Thank you. We can move to the next slide. Now, with regard to the issue of whether or not the Department would be amenable that the same that has happened to Section 31B should happen to Section 27(2)(CB. The Department is of the view that Parliament should proceed with the bill as is. And the rationale for that is that the Constitutional Court has already inserted the requirement for 1,000 signatures in Section 31B. So, and Parliament has 24 months within which to then do the amendment. So we are of the view that it would not, prejudice anyone that we proceed with the bill as is, instead of actually repeating what the Constitutional Court has already done, which has already been read into the Act, so that when we read that section, it will then read that the requirement is now 1,000 signatures. So that is the view of the Department, honorable members, in answering the question that was asked whether or not it would be a good thing to then take an opportunity to insert what the Constitutional Court has read in. And we think that should we attempt maybe to do that, then what if, whilst the Parliament is busy with this bill and there is another judgment that also has got something that has been read in by the Constitutional Court, are we going to stop and do that amendment? And we think that it may jeopardize the work of Parliament in passing this bill and ensuring that the elections next year happens without any interruption. Next slide, please. The next slide, I think I've covered this. In terms of the recommendations, it is recommended that the joint sitting of the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee notes the progress that has been made since this bill was approved by Cabinet. I thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you very much for the brief. I will invite Parliamentary Legal Service and Mr. Matonsi to comment before members interact with the presentation, and also to outline how we are going to interact with this process. We've drafted a proposed approach on how we must interface with this process. Members will then able to comment on the this presentation that will be made. Telana?
Thank you, Honourable Chabane. Honourable Members, Honourable Chair, we welcome the presentation by the Department in terms of setting out the various clauses of the Act. And we agree with the Department in terms of the reading provision that it is indeed inserted into law currently with regards to independent candidates. But I think, Chairperson and Honourable Members, the bigger issue is that the presentation is silent on whether unrepresented political parties should still provide 15% of the quota, or should there be parity and 1,000 signatures for contestation. Chairperson, we are also mindful that if it is the Department's policy intention to not include the 1,000 signatures, that there is a time issue at hand, and that if it is the Department's policy intention to decrease the threshold to 1,000 signatures, that they should be mindful that the IEC cannot be delayed any further. So I think the real question, Chairperson, is bearing in mind that there is now a situation where unrepresented political parties have 15% of the quota, must have 15% of the quota of the previous election in order to contest, and this is the current position of 27C, A, and B, that if the Department's policy decision or policy direction is to change this, that this must be done at this stage, Deputy Chairperson, as we cannot delay the IC until April, as you know, the elections are looming. And I think the second point on the presentation, Chairperson, is just to understand the process going forward. Mr. Eddie will describe the process better, because he has been speaking to the NA table. But from this point, Chairperson, we will then publish the bill, and we will call for public comments. But if it is the Department's intention to extend the scope of this bill and to bring parity to the unrepresented parties, a simple solution would be advertising the bill as is and then inviting for comments regarding the situation around unrepresented political parties. But that's the only position that the Department can decide on. And at this stage, we would like to say we welcome the presentation and we agree with regards to the insertion of the reading provision that is not necessary. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Telan, for the inputting. And I think we must just also highlight that the Parliamentary Legal Services did brief the Portfolio Committee last week. Unfortunately, they did not brief the joint meeting. There are some of the issues which were raised for department to respond. I'm just highlighting this matter for purpose of members of the select committee to that it Home Affairs are responding to some of the issues that were raised by Chela. But I think we'll avail also that presentation to the select committee on security and justice. Mr. Matsunzi, can you also present the proposed, and I will then allow members to comment, and also the IEC if there's a matter they want to comment on.
Okay, Chairperson. Good morning again, Chairperson and members. Yes, what Telane has just indicated now, when drafting this program, I did consult with Mr. Kaso, who's the Secretary of the National Assembly, in terms of processing or conferring the processing of the bill with the Select Committee on Security and Justice. And then after that, Gashwin and I, the Committee Secretary of the Select Committee, and the content advisor and the researcher, we did a consolidated program that will see that the two committees process this bill urgently. So what we have done here, if you check here, because at that time we didn't know what date the department was going to brief the committee or to introduce the bill, we just indicated this December. So this is this December, this is today wherein the minister or the department is briefing the two committees on the bill after the introduction. And then the next phase, it will be after this briefing, we need to advertise the bill. The first thing that we said, we need to advertise it on social media and parliament website, because of time, because we are receiving this briefing today and parliament is closing on Thursday. We are hoping that the advert and the bill will be on the parliament website by Thursday, so that members of the public can also make submissions. But also, you recall last year that we also did advertise the additional issues that were raised last year by the Select Committee. It was done around this time, so I'll also email the advert to some of the stakeholders that we had sent last year on the electoral amendment bill. And then, but we're still hoping here that if possible, we're still going to be advertising in the print media. We are still pursuing that. The advert that we did as well, it has been sent to languages for translation into the other 10 languages. And then I was promised that we will get that. So if the committee decides to add something on that advert in relation to the 15% threshold, we will have to resend that, only that portion, so that it gets translated into these other languages. So then here, after, then the closing date, it will be 2nd February 2024, advertisement. If I advertise this week, and then it will be until the 2nd of February. And then after that, we are going to have a joint public hearings, which are scheduled for 5 and 6 February. This will be joint with the select committee. And then after that, we are going to have the Department of Home Affairs, the IEC, Parliament Legal Service, Parliament, the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies, just to respond to the submissions that we have received. If you recall, Chairperson and members, is that in terms of the Electronic Communication Act, that falls under the Department of Communication. So we'll need them to come and give an input, and also the Financial Management and Provincial Legislature Act, we need Parliament there as well. And then because the implementing agent is the IEC, we also need them there as well, and also the department chairperson. Then after that, then the PC on Home Affairs will continue to do the MOD, and then we deliberate on the bill, and then we do the A list with the state law advisors. We did the clause by clause, and then we consider the bill and the report by February 19th, yeah. And then from there, I just put here the 21st, but I'm just saying that once the NA, our committee finishes with the B, and then the NA, the sitting should consider the bill and then transmit or refer it to the NSOP. And then since the NSOP, we are engaging with them at this moment, like today and also the public hearings, they don't have to do public hearings. They don't have to do public comments. They don't have to do responses by the department and other stakeholders because we have done that. And then they will just go into deliberation on the bill, and then they finalize the bill, and then it's sent to the NSOP for processing. But also, Chairperson, to indicate that when we do the, I think this came also from the Parliamentary Legal Service, that if we do like what we did today, joint briefing, and then we'll do public hearings. So it might mean that we don't have to substantially change the bill a lot because some of the issues in this other legislation that were is just technical issues. Otherwise, if we make a lot of changes to the original bill, it might create problems for the select committee. So then we are looking at finalizing this bill, Chairperson, on the 28th of February, hoping that everything goes well. So that's all from my side, Chairperson.
Thanks.
Before I see a hand from Adam.
Thank you, Mr. Matwenza. Is there other matter from your side, Mr. Salmo?
Yes, thank you, Chair. To indicate on the 7th of February there, we've changed the program of the committee to make sure that we also have summaries of the submissions. We just haven't updated the legislative program yet, that there'll be summaries of the written submissions, that the research and content advisors will consolidate and present to the committee prior to the department responding. That's one change that we've done since Eddie composed this program. Thank you, Jack.
Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Salmon. Ms. Govender, is there any other matter you want to comment on?
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the members as well as the DM, as well as the commissioners of the IEC. Chairperson, we have noted the presentation by the DM, as well as that the discussion by Parliamentary Legal and the proposed program by Mr. Matwanzi. We have nothing further to add at this stage, Chairperson. Myself, together with Mr. Theo Hercules and Aisha Johar, will be available to assist the committee in the finalization of this bill on behalf of the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, members. These are the issues commented by our colleagues. In attendance here, I have 15 members, but I'll start with the Chairperson of the Select Committee on Justice, the Security and Justice, to comment and perhaps guide on how we must undertake this process. If questions perhaps will be raised later to Home Affairs in particular. But I think our understanding was that the presentation was for noting so that we're able to proceed to public advertise and receive public comments. And members were able to in detail contribute for the finalization of the this amendment. I will share the shake.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. But allow me also to take this opportunity just to greet the Deputy Minister, the Commissioners from the IEC, as well as all colleagues from the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee. And the legal representatives, as well as all staff on the platform. I would just make a comment in terms of the processing of the bill, especially as it relates to the aspect with regard to the processes within the NCOP. But first, I need to say that obviously we are committed to this process. Especially in terms of trying to expedite this piece of legislation. But just in terms of the processes in the NCOB chair, perhaps what has not been mentioned in the presentation is that the processes within the NCOP would remain as provisional in terms of this program, but it's also dependent on whether there would be amendments made by the portfolio committee at the end of your process, because that has implications for our process, and we would have to then review that aspect. Clearly, we want to ensure that in processing this piece of legislation that we also follow the necessary prescripts in terms of the Constitution, in terms of processing of Section 75 legislation, but also in terms of the rules of Parliament. Chair, I just thought I should say that in terms of the processes, and as you've indicated that in terms of questions in relation to the poll, it will come later. Thank you.
No, thanks, Honourable Sheikh, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Security and Justice. Members, I'm inviting you to comment on all the presentations which have been tabled before us, and the proposal that we are tabling on how we must engage these matters. I'll start the first five, six, Honorable Dodovo, Honorable Mokgale, Honorable Pillay, Honorable Maleka, Honorable Hadebe, and Honorable Ross. Honorable Dodovo? Honorable Mokgale? Okay, one of the door, yeah. Yeah, can you hear one of the door, proceed? You have a network problem, I think. Information?
Yes, sir.
What is the name, ne?
Sorry?
Are you able to...
Yeah, you know, I can hear you. I can't hear
the Honorable. Okay, now we'll call him again. Let's proceed. Honorable Mokgale? Honorable
Pillay? Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me greet everyone that's on the platform, Honorable Members. Chair, I note the presentation. And I think it's fine for us to be able to proceed. There's just two things. One is that we must consider taking into consideration the political new political parties, so underrepresented political parties, and perhaps that's a discussion for a later stage. And two, just to caution on the program, to take into consideration SONA. I think we may have had an oversight on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Pillay. Honorable Maleka?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good day, good morning to Honorable Members, the Department, IEC. Chairperson, we know the presentation is presented, and we hope that the program and the schedule will go according as you said. The portfolio committee will make sure that they do the public hearings and everything. There's nothing that I can ask, no question. I just noting that everything can go according. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Maleka. Honorable Hadebe. Okay, Honorable Ross.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you to the presenters, and greeting to the colleagues in the NA and the NCOP. Chair, I'd like to just start by wishing the Minister well and a speedy recovery. Chairperson, I'd also like to agree on the what the Department has said in terms of the bill continuing as it is, and with the reading in and not trying to extend the scope. I think what we've been presented with is already an aggressive schedule to complete by the 28th of February. So I mentioned this in the last meeting, but just to re-emphasize that, Chair. Chair, I'd also just like to get an understanding whether the tagging of the bill has been completed or whether it's almost complete, and whether this is going to be a Section 75 or a Section 76 bill, if we know that at this point in time. I think just the one concern is that Section 10, where it's mentioned that this change is made because of the state capture report. But it actually seems to me that Section 10 has been weakened because it prohibited any donations to members of a political party. And now we're being told that it's now it's okay as long as the person is not doing or not making the donation to an individual to influence the awarding of a tender, a license, etc. So I'd just like to understand how would you police such a such conditions? For example, somebody happens to give a donation to somebody, and then they happen to get work somewhere, but it wasn't because of that donation necessarily. How is that going to be policed? Because I'm just concerned about Section 10. I don't understand how that's a consequential amendment that has to do with independent candidates. It seems to be a different thing that's being brought in. I'd like to just understand why it's been brought in. And then also, how does the party then account for these donations? Because if it's a donation to a member of a political party, is the political party responsible for getting the information and reporting that to the IEC? My other question as well is, what defines the reasonable grounds by which the Commission may suspend payments to political parties and independent candidates? And then just finally, Chair, I'd just like to understand, we have here a joint program to be completed by the 28th of February. I'd just like to understand whether there are any then regulations that would then need to be changed after that and how long that process would be. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Ross. Let me check in on Honourable Dodogo, if I can get him. Honourable Mohale. Okay. We invite Honourable Lohase, Honourable Tejana, Honourable Hendricks, Honourable Ndongeni, Honourable Badenhorst, Honourable Bartlett, Honourable Kanyile, and Honourable Mudise.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to all the colleagues on the platform. Chair, mine is just to note the presentations that have been brought before us and also to consider the draft consolidated legislative program that was presented before us by Bra Eddy. And as Comrade Pillay has already mentioned, maybe he should check on or relook into the date to make sure that nothing will stop us from completing this process by the 28th of February. I think I'm sufficiently covered, Chair. I don't have any much of questions or anything to raise at the moment. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, so noted, Lohase. Honorable Dodogo is struggling with the network. I think we're noting this challenge. Honorable Tejana. Honorable Hendricks. Honorable Ndongeni. Ndongeni, yeah. Honorable Badenhorst. Honorable Bartlett.
Yes, Chair. I'm here. I'm fine.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, my connectivity is not right where I am.
Oh, okay. It's Honorable Badenhorst.
Yeah, that's correct. If I can just I was covered by my colleague, Honorable Ruiz, just with regards to tagging, whether it's a Section 76 or 75 builders. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to you and greetings to the colleagues in the NA and NCOP and everyone in the meeting. I have been largely covered by my colleagues that have spoken before me, that what is left with us is to ensure now that we meet the deadline for the 28th of February. However, Chairperson, I'd like to reiterate the question that was raised by Honourable Rose, that are there any regulations that are going to need to be changed after the 28th of February? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Kanyile. Honourable Mugisha Mja. Okay, thank you, Honourable Members. There's indication of other members who are struggling with the network. We'll then proceed on the issues that are being raised. Advocate Kumalo, there are key issues which have been raised that I think you will comment. Yes, proceed.
Yeah, Chairperson, sorry, I went to previously when I commented, I didn't know if I should comment on the presentation as well. But I thought it would be important that I do. Just in terms of Chairperson with regard to extending the scope of the current law, especially in relation to the 15% signatures when it comes to unrepresented political parties. I think the question that the department still needs to perhaps respond to are policy implications in terms of this, and perhaps as a joint committee, it's a matter that we also need to consider whether we include in the best way possible, I would imagine, in consultation with legal services in terms of how we address this matter, but obviously a response from the department in terms of that. Okay, the other question that I wanted to ask was in relation to clause 12. It's more a question for clarity for myself, especially in terms of the right to refuse donations or allocations, where it says that I understand refusing of donations from a private person, but just in terms of refusal, in terms of the allocation from the Market Party and Independent Democracy Fund, if I could get more clarity on that issue. And then, Chair, the second matter in terms of the ball is with regard to Clause 29, especially in terms of the funds allocated to represented political parties and independent representatives. On the proportional and the equitable basis, there has been an amendment in terms of the allocation. So I just want clarity on that as well. Thank you, Chair. That's from my side.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll invite Advocate Kumalo, the IEC Parliamentary Legal Services, to comment on, and the Deputy Minister to comment. The one point which I think others have been covered, I wanted to raise the same matter on clause 29. But I wanted also to check with Advocate Kumalo if the presentation of the IEC, which was communicated to the committee, did the also interacted with that presentation, particularly on the interpretation of the signature requirements on the on regions, because there's a line that was raised by the IEC in terms of this signature campaign for independent candidates. Also, is one area which I wanted the Advocate Kumalo to deal with that. Other issues, I think, are related to Parliamentary Legal Services that they will respond on, and IEC will I know they have not, were not invited them to comment on the, or respond on the presentation because they've allocated earlier when we reopen. And also the IEC perhaps also comment on the scheduling proposed, so that we understand as a joint committee in relation to your program so far the election, whether it's not overlapping, so that able to align our work to assist the as the other members have raised that we must be cautious that the IEC is already under pressure to deal with other issues. And the other issues of regulations that obviously would be being interacted with. And also to check with the advocate Kumalo if we did interact with other departments, particularly the ICASA, in relation to the issues that are coming on the electoral matters amendment bill. Honorable, Mr. Advocate Kumalo, can you comment on the responses? And I think members will then deliberate on the issues once the public hearings have been conducted and submissions have been made to the committee. Advocate Kumalo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, maybe let me start with the IC presentation. Yes, the department has interacted with same, and as we are busy with adjustments to budget this morning, I was just in talk with the CFO to say that the 1,000 signature requirement would mean that there should be more allocation to IC, because if one looks at their presentation, it means that they would have to print more ballots than was anticipated. So those issues are being taken into account, Chairperson. So the issue of Section 10, so what has happened to Section 10 is that the wording that was there previously is still there. What was inserted was that part which deals with making a donation with expectation. And I hear what the honorable member is saying, to say how would one police that, because there could also be coincidence that a donation was made by a particular person, and that person during a fair and an open process happens to be awarded a tender in the portfolio of the person to whom the donation was made. So like all other crimes, it would require an investigation when a complaint is raised, whether or not the state will have to prove whether or not the intention that we anticipate in the clause was there when the donation was made. Difficult as it may, but it would then require that investigation and proof in a criminal court that there was an intention to commit that particular offense. So with regard to regulations, indeed, Clause 26 gives the powers to make regulations to the president as well, and there are a lot of sections where regulations will have to be made. So it is our intention that those regulations, at least in a draft form, those that are so critical that the amendment will not be implemented without, should be then drafted, because then if we wait for the last minute, then the risk may be there that certain section may not be implementable. So that we have taken heed of, Chairperson. I'm just checking, Chairperson. I may have covered most of the questions, but I will also invite the Auxla and Parliamentary Legal Service to cover any other area that I would have not covered in terms of the questions that were asked. And maybe the IEC, especially in terms of the threshold, in terms of the fund, the donations that are allowed and the capping. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Advocate Kumalo. Let me invite Salana.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
So the state law advisor recommended that the bill be tagged as a 75, and we also would recommend that it be tagged as a 75, but the final decision would lie with the joint tagging mechanism. We should have the joint tagging mechanisms, the JTM decision, by the next meeting of this committee.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Is there any comment? I know that we're inviting you to respond formally on the presentation earlier next year, but I think it's important that at least we get a sense where you lay your comments on, particularly on the scheduling of a process that we have undertaken here in the committee meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. We note the presentations, and we will comment when we are invited. We will look at the issues that have been raised and incorporate them in our comments when we come back to you. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay. Thank you very much. We wanted that. Deputy Minister.
No, thank you, Chair. I think firstly, we know that there is quite a lot of issues that will be thrashed out during the consultation process as per the schedule that will have been introduced and presented earlier on in this meeting. But I would like to take a few comments on three issues. The first one is that in our approach as a department, we have taken that we have to make sure that we assist in terms of the IEC delivering credible, stable elections that must be delivered on time. And we had no intention of delaying the process. And part of those issues is that you have a clear directive from the Constitutional Court on what issues you need to fix. And in fact, those issues were then given a certain number of months, which is 24 months to deal with those issues. But as it pertains to the issue of independent candidates and what the Constitutional Court deemed as urgent around the issue of the 1,000 signatures, they were directly read on, which means that they are already included. And I think we have threshed out that particular issue. We do not have a policy appetite or a policy direction to then venture to the other issues of representative of the political parties, as our scope was as per the directive of the Constitutional Court, standing from the previous judgment on the introduction of independence. Our approach has always been, let us take that minimalistic approach whilst we then broaden the overall situation. I think that the advert has gone out just this morning for the review panel, which will then do the extensive work in terms of the overhaul and looking into our electoral laws. For now, we're dealing with the issues as per the directive of the Constitutional Court. I think on the issue of the donations, the main issue there is to curtail or to prevent people with scrupulous intentions funding individuals and funding political parties. That must be stopped. And as we've stated, the whole issue of corruption is an issue of concern to everyone. And tightening it up makes it easier for law enforcement and authorities to deal with those issues. For instance, if there was that intention, yes, a person can now report that I think so-and-so connived with an intention of rigging the state and issuing of tenders. And as such, the police and the enforcement agencies will then look at that particular intention and then enforce the law after investigation, just like we deal with any other crime. And I think moving forward, Chair, will also be available to the portfolio committee to come in and take in any other questions. Other than that, I think the majority of questions have been dealt with both by Parliamentary Legal as well as the advocate from the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Honorable Shahida Sheikh, is there any other matter before we wrap up?
Maybe just in terms of the outstanding questions, it would be perhaps as has been indicated that the department and the IEC can come back with a response. the issue of the Chair, perhaps really the issue, I don't have any other issue, but perhaps the matter relating to the 15% signatures for unrepresented political parties should be maybe a matter that needs discussion further. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much, honorable members and the Deputy Minister Advocate Khumalo, Parliamentary Electoral Service Team led by Tela and Ms. Govender and the team of the IEC led by the Chairperson, Commissioner Muyato. The committee notes the presentations, comments that have been raised, and will also await the response from the IEC in line with the issues that have been raised by the committee, but also taking appreciation, Deputy Minister, on the preparations for this presentation that will assist the joint committees to interact, but also to consult further in terms of our contributions once the public hearings has been undertaken. Now that we've now interacted with the presentation and the issues that are arising, we're going to, as per the program that was presented by Mr. Matonzi, advertise this electoral matters amendment bill for public comments. After that, when we've now received the public comments, deliberate more on the issues that are arising and also the issues that have been raised here in the meeting, including the signature issues, but also the looking carefully on the Constitutional Court judgment and its interpretation to the work of the IEC. We take note, honourable members, that collectively we have to work hard to assist the IEC so that we make their work easier through this process of legislation. Thirdly, we take note that there still have to be consultation by Home Affairs with other institutions, CASA departments, in relation to the legislation that will be undertaken, and also their response to the portfolio committee and attitude on the issue of the legislation that has been put before us. So we're noting all the reports and all the comments, and assure that all of us will now formally deliberate when the public comments have been undertaken by the committee early next year. We'll invite the IEC to formally respond to this presentation that has been tabled by Home Affairs earlier in the year 2024. May I take this opportunity also to extend thanks to all of you who have made your time to attend this important meeting, and all wish the Minister Zwaledi speedy recovery, and hope all of us, now that that is our last committee meeting, we wish all of you a good festive season and enjoy your time. Those that will be waiting, all of us, as you know, that as public representatives and the IEC, that you're preparing for the February voter registration, let's exert all our hands to work and respond to the issues that are being raised before us. At this moment, Mr. Matonzi and the Secretary of the Select Committee on Justice, they in other matter want to...
there's nothing from my side. Gertrude, is there anything from your side?
Nothing from my side, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much, colleagues, honourable members, and our stakeholders. The meeting stand adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.